There comes a time when it's more than just fantasy, when it's more than just a dream. There comes a time when you are the coach. Those players out there taking huge hits, smashing sixes and kicking goals, they're your players. It's your pride on the line, all in the name of bragging rights. When the time comes, there is only one place to turn. There is only OTLS Fantasy Sports Refuge.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to all those as obsessed with fantasy as we are. We are here to have a chat about week two of Fantasy Pick'em and look towards round three. Of course, to go through all of that is Archie. Welcome again, Arch.
Thanks, Anna. Good to be here on a day where the Lakers were crowned champion in another so-called asterisk season. It just goes to show, even like... even in the AFL, you generally find the preliminary final is better than the grand final. Yep. They're a bit closer and a bit harder fought, and that was very much like the NBA finals this week. The great game on Saturday morning our time, where Jimmy Butler and LeBron James just went head to head, and then today it was just a bit of a cakewalk for the Lakers.
Yeah, I think Jimmy Butler's been playing a lot of minutes, and I reckon I haven't seen the game yet, Arch. I know the result, of course. How could you not? But I have a feeling that Butler may have been a little bit tired after playing. I think he played four straight games of over 41 minutes. So
yeah, well, he sat down for all of 47 seconds, I think it was, in game five.
Yeah, so he, I was hoping it wouldn't catch up with him, at least get to game seven, but from all reports that I have read today, it caught up with him. But the big question, Arch, and I have to ask you, LeBron or MJ?
Not a question, Zano.
Fair enough. Don't even need to answer it. No, I'm with you on that. LeBron, right? No.
Yeah, sure. No, I tweeted out earlier, I said, I have been, am, and always will be an MJ guy, but I have every ounce of respect for LeBron and what he's done and the way he holds himself in the game.
It's quite amazing the fact that he can take, the way that he can take teams to championship and ring teams is just phenomenal. I know MJ did, and he had a couple of guys by his side, but LeBron's just moved to wherever he's needed to be and just achieved it. It's just the way that he can lift a team and take them with him is just phenomenal. I'm always on the big believer that you can't compare guys from different eras either, which is just so hard to do, because in the current game, would MJ have been as good? Probably not. But back then, would have LeBron been as good? Probably not. So yeah, exactly. It's just such a different game these days, and I'm the same with the AFL, but hats off to him. He's done four now, and well-deserved, without any doubt about that.
All right, Zano, enough about OTLS NBA podcast. We're here to talk AFL, and we're here to talk fantasy pick'em.
Yep.
So why don't you take us through the results from the weekend first up?
So the results were quite easy. I mean, obviously, we had Richmond knocked off St Kilda on the Friday night. I'm trying to think back now. We are on the Monday night. And then, of course, Geelong beat the Collingwood Witches Hats on Saturday night. So, definitely have to say it wasn't as exciting as the week before with those games, Arch. I think both games were pretty much over by halftime, and the teams that were expected to win, it all went to to script this week.
Yep. And the good news is, Zano, there was no big injuries, which is awesome for the week. Except, look, maybe Collingwood's fans' pride. Can we put that on the official injury list?
I think Nathan Buckley's, the vein that he gets, that was injured a little bit. But other than that, not much.
Absolutely. All right, so let's review the rounds, Zano, and go through and have a look at some of the top scorers. You're going to kick us off with the defenders. There's going to be a lot of Geelong in this section, I reckon.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, they just had the ball all day. So, in defence, the top scorer was Stewart, of course, from Geelong. A guy's name who I just don't like, Lockie Henderson. He had a 93. Has he ever scored over 60 before in his career? I'd be like to go back and see that. Basher Hooley, of course, with his 102. Shane Edwards with his 79. Now, the interesting part is all four of those guys are still available next week.
Yep.
And a Caulfielder with his 77 from St Kilda, who was eliminated. So, solid enough.
Midfield.
Yep.
Yeah, in the midfield, we had Mitch Duncan, who top scored on 1-2-3. Yes. He was actually the top scorer for the round there. We had Guthrie on 107, Danger 99, Menegola 96. Yep. And then we get to somebody who's not a Geelong player. So Jack Steele from St Kilda on 94. Then Selwood bobs back up for an 83, mm-hmm. and Jack Billings with a 72 there. So interestingly, no Richmond or Collingwood players in that top little bit for the mid-center.
No, not so surprised for Richmond. They just are never big scorers, especially through the midfield anyway.
Which is going to be a problem, isn't it? We'll get to that soon, but it is going to be a big problem.
Depends on how many guys you got up your sleeve, Arch. But yes, it could be a problem. But yeah, there's nothing overly sort of... I mean, it's more the Collingwood, the fact that none of the big Collingwood names got into that midfield. You know, the Adams, the Treloars, even Dacos, who am I missing there? Pendles, you know? Not even one of them got in there. So that was... We'll come to a question on that in a little bit as well, but that was poor. All right, in the Arch, in the Rucks, we've got Rowan Marshall, which I think would have been one of the highest selected players this week. I think a lot of guys would have had him in their teams. He had an 83. And Reece Stanley, let's go back to the Lockie Henderson theory. He had an 81. I don't know if he's ever scored over 60 before. So definitely Geelong's round for sure. And Arch, in at the forward line.
In the forwards, we had Tomahawk scoring 103 for the round. Good-looking Tom Lynch scored 100 and didn't win himself any friends with his actions on the field on the weekend, that's for sure. Then we had Dusty on 79, along with Brandon Parfitt, who also scored 79.
So that's right.
So that's, just a bit of a roundup as to who scored well on the weekend. Now, we're going to have a bit of a look and delve into the selections a little bit, Zano. So why don't you take us through... There were a lot of different captain selections. So who picked who as captain and how did they go?
So the highest picked guy for captain was Taylor Adams. He had 67 and six people selected him. Now, that would have probably been the six people that didn't have him the week before when he had his 100 and 700 and whatever he had. Adams. So thank you for that. I had his 67 as well. And missed out on his captain score last week. But again, we'll come more to that in a while. So thank you. But six of us had Adams as captain. Then we've got one, two, three, four guys who had... Well, was selected three times for captain. So first was, of course, Mitch Duncan with his 123. And Zach Guthrie with his 107 at Dangerfield with his 99. So if you were any...
Find it's Cam Guthrie, Zano, not Zach.
Oh, sorry, Zach Guthrie. Gam Guthrie. Sorry, Zach Guthrie, yeah. 107 and then Danger 99. So anyone who had any one of those nine players that had those guys should be pretty happy with. And then three guys also happened to pick Grundy with his 57. So that hurts a little bit as well. You had two guys who selected Marshall, which I really wish I'd loop told and not listen to you, Arch. Don't know why I keep asking for advice. With his 83. And Jack Steele with his 94 had two selections. Now, these are the guys who selected, had their ones. One person had Tom Stewart. Very well done. Then you had one with Jack Crisp's 75, one with Dusty's 79. So you're not going to be too upset about that. You'll take that as a compared to what are some of the others. Then we actually had one person with Treloar's 63 and one person with Presti is 53, and even one with Pendlebury's 45. So definitely a big difference there, where if you'd had Pendlebury instead of Duncan, that's cost you a solid, what are we talking, 80, just under 80 points straight up. So more than that, because you'd possibly double it if you didn't have one of them. But anyway, that's a big hit, Arch. So yeah, definitely Adams was the popular choice, followed by the four obvious ones, but definitely a different round for captains this week, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And so for those keeping track at home, that was 13 different captains this week, ranging from Pendle's 45, as you say, Zano, all the way up to Duncan's 123.
Yeah, and we got a question on that in a second, but we'll talk more about it. But yeah, there's a big difference between that, isn't there? All right, Arch, you're going to talk about our ruck selections for the week.
Yeah, look, the rucks are probably the easiest to go through because there's only one selected each week.
Yep.
And as you mentioned before, Zano, Marshall quite easily he was the highest selection. So 83 he scored,
yep.
Which was actually the highest score out of all the rucks there, which is also pretty handy there. So he was owned by 79% of coaches. And then we had a smattering of Grundy, Stanley, and one person with Nank as well for 67, which, again, you wouldn't be overly happy with it, but you wouldn't be devastated with a 67 either.
No, depending on who you've got left up your sleeve for this week, you know, there's probably a high chance we're going to have to play Nank at some stage looking forward. So that being the case, it was definitely a case of not the worst scenario. Alright, Art, so to our top scorer of the round was James from Jackers Quackers. I love that name. He had a 1,092, which is a huge score. Wow, so
that's epic.
Very, very nice there. And also well done to Ando from Commandos, who cracked 1,000 with a score of 1050. So well done, guys. They're our first four figures for the year. And definitely flew a few guys up the leaderboard pretty quickly.
Cool. And just a bit of a note there. The average score for the round was 862, Zano, which was up slightly from round one, thanks to a lot of those Geelong boys there scoring hundreds.
Yep. Yeah. It's, so Geelong were the ones that pumped that up for sure, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, on to overall, Zano. So, top three overall scorers at the moment. We've got Jordan from Bon Appetit. I love that name.
Yep.
There's a few good pun names this year, Zano.
There are, isn't there?
There's a few smart cookies out there. So we've got Jordan on 1843, followed closely by a good mate, Doddy from Gone Fritchen, which is another good pun name there, on 1828. And James, as you mentioned before, Zano, vaulting into third place there with 1827 for the round. So the average overall score, and I will put a little asterisk here that this is for teams that have entered 2 weeks. We had a few people drop off this week, which is to be expected. 1683, so you can measure yourself against that once your team scores are sent out.
Beautiful. And I have to make note to poor old, who was it? It was Harley from Longsleeve Energy as well, Arch, who... Mm-hmm. Went from the highest score round one to the lowest score round two.
Yes.
So we do talk a bit. I don't know if you ever watched the TV show The League. I would recommend you did. First to worst, Harley, first to worst. But, hey, you're still beating me, so let's not gloat too much, I don't think, Arch.
And the way things go with this game, Zano, it's 1 week at a time. You can bounce back up there very, very quickly.
And I'm sure we'll get to that next because there's some interesting stats you're about to go through.
Absolutely. So the most ineligible players is 14, who one coach has 14.
Yep.
And some absolute crab somehow, Zano, has managed to get zero ineligible players.
Yes.
So he's got available everyone to pick from next week. Who would that be?
That would be this genius who's sitting in about eighth last, fifth last, or whatever I am. So we'll come more to that. But yeah, I've been lucky with my tipping so far. I've taken a punt and... I haven't travelled well to start off with, but now I've got a fair bit up my sleeve to see if I can come home with a wet sail. It'll be very interesting to see how that goes now, Arch.
And what is, Zano, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that, but because the key thing, obviously, with you having zero ineligible players, that means you didn't select any Cats this week.
No.
Which meant you missed out on all those scores, all those 100-plus scores that was out there.
I did.
Now, the good news is that you can pick them this week. But the question is, do they back up and score that highly? That's the tough thing, isn't it?
They're unlikely, but now the thing is, and this is where this week will come, and we'll talk again, we've got a question on this in a little while, but it becomes paramount. If you can guess the right two teams this week in your tipping, you could run with nothing but premiums for the last 2 weeks of the pick 'em season. So if you get lucky and you get that right, then you've got guys now, as you're sort of saying, I think you're saying that the average used is 6, if I'm not mistaken. So there's 6 extra premiums I might be able to run over the coming, you know, weeks, rather than having to play some bloke who's going to score you 40 in the forward line. So that's where it's going to be really interesting. It's that last couple of tips, I think, that makes all the difference. So, but in saying that, again, we'll come to that, a couple of pretty average captain selections can kill you pretty quickly as well, as we'll see.
Yep. Okay, now, enough about last week, Zano. So if you want to know where you're sitting on the ladder, I did tweet it out, so have a look at OTLS Pick'em there. Twitter's always the best way to keep in touch with us and Absolutely. See how you're tracking throughout the weekend. Moving on to round three, or week three of Pick'em. It's still a rolling lockout, Zano. We're going to keep that through this week, which means Friday night lockout, 7:40 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time. That's the Port Adelaide versus Richmond game, and it is at Adelaide Oval. So obviously, depending on how you want to run it, your loophole options need to come from this game. Because if you're going to loop anyone, that has to be from this game. And then Saturday night, 7:50 Eastern Daylight Saving Time, is Brisbane versus Geelong, and that is, of course, at the Gabba there. So should be a couple of cracker games, I reckon, there, Zano.
Yeah, I reckon that this is going to be some good old... Not going to be a lot of outside playing. So I think it's going to be some good old inside, tough, hard football in these two games. And some good, tough, scrappy, get the job done type of contest. So I think you're right. I think they're going to be good ones, Arch.
So I did go back, Zano, and have a look at the last time these teams played each other. So Port played Richmond in round 11, which was on the 8th of August, which seems like a millennia ago, but it's only a couple of months. And Port actually got the biscuits with that one. So Port 93 defeated Richmond 72.
Yep.
Top scorers that weekend were Wines with 124, Boak with 100, Laddams with 90. Now, I thought this might have been one of the weeks where Lysette didn't play, but no, he actually scored 53.
I think that might have been Lysette's first game back.
Amon scored 86.
Yep.
And Rocky 82. Interestingly, the top seven scorers were all from Port Adelaide. It was a fair shellacking there.
Yep.
But something to keep in mind from that game, Richmond were missing Asprey, Hooley, Edwards, Nankervis and Cochin. And there's some reasonable players in that lot, Zane.
Yeah, there's a couple of important players there. You know, I think Nank, Cochin and Hooley are quite, important players for the Richmond Football Club. But and you're right. I mean, those top scorers. Look, to be honest with you, Richmond, as we know, aren't huge scorers anyway. So definitely doesn't surprise me that the top, well, maybe not the top seven, but doesn't surprise me that the bulk of top scorers are from Port Adelaide. That's for sure.
And Brisbane last played Geelong in round six, which was the 9th of July, which was even longer ago.
Yeah.
And Geelong fairly towered them up, Zano, 73-46. Top scorers from that game, Dangerfield 102, Simpson 102, Hawkins 99, Neil 98, Menegola 92, Lyons 88, Guthrie 86, Berry 84, Selwood 84. So that tells me there's some good scoring going to come out of this game. I think if you're going to get some big scores, it's going to be from this game. I don't know that it's going to be. You might get one or two Port players, but I reckon the big scores are going to come from this game if we get any.
Yeah, I agree. I think I reckon there'll be a few Port guys that'll score reasonably well. There's always going to be two or three guys against Richmond that score pretty big. And then it's everyone else sort of gets locked down. So you just got to get those three right. Which three are they going to be? Who knows? But keep an eye on that. But yeah, the other one I think is where most of the scoring will come from, Arch. Two teams that like to flick the ball around and feel the ball in their hands. So I reckon that you're right. It's going to come mainly from there.
All right, Zano. Now, I want to talk a little bit of strategy. You mentioned before that you've tipped really well. I want to know who you are tipping this week to get through. Who's going to be in the grand final?
It's interesting. I'm a bit different now. I don't have to worry too much about who to tip too much because I can just pick from either two games, and now with zero problems up my sleeve, I've got enough to cover me the following week with pretty much all premiums as well. So I don't have to worry too much. In saying that, I do feel it's hard at the moment. I'm just leaning towards Richmond and Geelong.
Yep.
Which is, we seem to do this every year, you know. We do it after the first round as well, where we always seem to think that the two lower scoring teams that win seem to be better than the two higher placed teams, that lose. We do it all the time, don't we? So I just feel that it could be an all-Victorian final, but this is one of the hardest, I think, seasons to tip the prelims for that I can remember, Arch.
Yeah, it is. It's tough. I actually think Yeah, I think Brisbane might get through,
mm.
and I actually think Port Adelaide might get through. So I'm going a non-Victorian grand final. So yep. it'll be interesting to see who's going to come out. And it's literally toss a coin, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I mean, I was looking at the betting the other day, and if I'm not mistaken, Richmond, Port Adelaide were both playing like $1.35.
Yep.
You know, it was even odds. So you don't see that very often. The other game, there was a 10-cent split between them. So... yeah, it's that strange world. How much will Brisbane's home ground advantage help? How much will Port's home ground advantage help, you know? So, yeah. And it's also always that theory about that week off, you come out a little bit rusty. So, I don't know. I'm sort of, that's where I'm really lucky. Again, my strategy, my individual strategy will be picking guys from both games, still giving me enough premiums regardless of what happens the following week. So, I can do that. If you're one of the guys with 14, you've got no choice but to take a punt on one of the teams that's going to win it.
Absolutely. So let's go through each line, Zano, and see who we can actually pick. All right, Zano, so starting with the defenders, the top defenders available this week, remembering that we need six for the rest of the series.
Yep.
Tom Stewart, who obviously, as we said, scored 110
yep.
last week. Houston managed a 47 the last time he played. Hartlett was an 83, Short 71, Hawley 102, Rich 103. He had a really good first game in the qualifying final. Tui scored a 50, which is concerning when everyone else was scoring massively. Darcy Byrne-Jones, 51. Zach Bailey, 42. Shane Edwards, who I think is going to be in a fair few teams this weekend, Zano,
yep.
79. And Lockie Henderson, 93, as we mentioned. I don't know that that's going to be repeatable, to be honest.
No.
So there's still quite a few there to pick from. I don't think we're going to have too many issues with the defenders there.
No, look, it depends on who you've picked and who gets through next week. More than anything, I think next week we'll know more. This week I don't think it'll be a problem. Next week could be getting a bit nasty for a few guys yep. down back. All right, Arch, having a look at the midfielders now. We still need eight for the rest of the series, so... Guys that most obvious are Neil, who's coming off a 64, so he's due. Rocky coming off a 91. Lyons coming off an 84. As we mentioned, Duncan coming off a 123. Cam Guthrie coming off a 107. Trav Boker, 75. Menegola, 96. Danger, 99. Ollie Wines, 83. Prestige, who's been struggling a bit since he's come back, Arch, with a 53. The Suitcase McCluggage with his 80. Jared Berry with a 76. And Joel Selwood finding some form, as he always seems to do come finals, with an 83. So definitely a bit up our sleeve there. There's a lot of names there, and I think, again, this week you'll be fine.
Yep. Now, obviously, Zano, you can only select four mids grand final week.
Yep.
Which means if you've got, as you are in the situation, Zano, where you can select anyone you want.
Yep.
Fairly certain you can select at least one, probably even two of the Geelong mids this week and still leave you with another two for next week if they do get through.
Easily.
The big yep. question would be, do you just go all guns blazing and pick them all?
Look, I'm... Again, depends on the position you're in, but for me, I'm just picking the best team available.
Yep.
Straight up, because I will be able to cover it next week no matter what happens. So I'm picking best team available and then working it out from there, I think.
So does that mean you'll be picking Lockie Neal, Zano?
Absolutely.
Is he in your best team at the moment?
He'll be in my best team at the moment. I think it's a bit different against Geelong than what it was the first time. Geelong won't be tagging him. I can't see anyone going to him, so... yeah, I think he'll score well. Geelong tend to just like to go head-to-head in the midfield. Yep. So, you know, you'll expect a Neil versus Selwood type or Neil versus even Guthrie type scenario. So
yep.
I don't expect him to be tagged, and I think he'll go all right in the game this week.
And as you mentioned before, Zano, Richmond are the real worry.
Yeah.
If Richmond get through, you've got epic scorers in the midfield like Prestia, Cochin, Graham, McIntosh. They're the only mid-only. And none of them really in today. So you might even need to look at playing some DPP players in the mids in the grand final if they get through. So Dusty, Shea Bolton had a good half a game. He went missing
yep.
in the second half.
Yep.
Lambert, and as we mentioned before, Shane Edwards, they're all DPP players that are mid-eligible. You might just have to suck it up and play one of them.
Yeah, look, it's going to be hard that following week if you're if you've already used a lot of your Brisbane or Geelong guys, I think. Yep. And Port, look, a lot of the Port guys have been used. You know, Rocky, Boak, Wines not so much, but definitely Rocky and Boak were fairly highly selected the first week. So this is where the juggle becomes really interesting going forward, isn't it?
Absolutely. All right, moving on to the rucks, Zano. Rucks are pretty easy this year, I think. We've got most people would still have four available, I think it's fair to say. So you've basically got Lycett, who scored 47 last game, Stanley, who had 81, Nank, 67, Laddams, 48, and McInerney, 92. Yep. And don't forget as well, a couple of guys, if you are really struggling, which I don't think anyone is, just in case, there's still a bloke called Steph Martin out there. He got a solid 65 last time. And if you're really struggling, Noah Bolter is actually ruck eligible. Not that you'd want his 25, I don't think. But I reckon this week, for me, it's going to be a toss-up between, I think, McInerney and Stanley. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I'm going to hold McInerney because I hope to use him as a forward the following week if need be.
For the grand final.
For the grand final week, because that's... this is where it gets really interesting. So for me this week, so I'm just checking it now, Arch, I think I'm going to go probably Nankervis into Stanley.
Yep.
Because obviously, if you go, that way it guarantees you leave two ruckmen for the following week.
Yep.
Because this year it's a bit different, where in the past, Grundy's sort of still been available. And if they got through, then you sort of struggle to have that ruckman. 2 years ago against the Eagles, you know, where everyone had already played Grundy because you didn't want to miss out on any scores. And that grand final meant that you had someone like Hickey as your best option.
Hickey wasn't playing. So whoever it was. Vardy.
Vardy. Yep.
Yeah, Vardy was there.
So that was your sort of, so you got to be careful on that. So at this stage, I'm looking to, I'm gonna loop Nankervis and play Stanley, and then that way, regardless, I've always got either Steph or Stanley or Nankervis or Lycett for the following week, depending on who gets through. So, but Rux, as you said, I don't think are much of an issue at the moment. A few guys view Stanley already, which could be and Nankervis already. So that's where it could get you the following week. But yeah, I don't think it's a big issue for most people out there. All right, Arch, now looking to forwards. So the top forwards available, we still need six forwards, of course. Top forwards available, you've got Zorko, who's coming off an 82, Dusty, 79, Tomahawk off 103, Stephen, if healthy and selected, he hasn't scored. I don't think he'll play, to be honest, Arch.
I don't think he'll play either.
I can't see them changing that team unless it's a major injury somewhere. Parford off a 79, Ebert's a 76, Bolton's a 58, Lambert, 54, Myers, 52, Butters, 59, Robbie Gray, 59, and Gary Ablett's at 35. So not a lot up our sleeve there, to be honest. Forwards is probably where it's going to get ugliest, I think, in the last week, Arch. Now, of course, I was just going to say Laddams and Big O are eligible forwards as well, so keep that in mind.
And I think, I don't know, I think I'm going to play him there, to be honest.
As forwards, I will be.
As forwards, because I think I'm going to rather their score and then look at the rucks as well. I'll take a 60 from a ruck and then hopefully a 75 or an 80 from those guys up forward, rather than get the 80 in the rucks and then I'm looking at not much in the forward line, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not going to play either this week, to be honest. I wouldn't be interested in Laddams. He's been awful the last sort of two or three weeks since he's been back or games. But Big O is definitely one you can play forward if you need it. So, but I'll just keep him. If Brisbane don't get through, they don't get through. I should be right anyway. Because I'll have a few Geelong guys like Parfitt and Myers and even Ablett for the grand final week that I can play. If they get through, well, I'll use Big O as the Brisbane guy the following week as well and work around that. So pretty handy there. All right, Arch, last little section. We've got questions or question from Twitter. Punchy at MP Punchy has asked, 260 points off the leader. I feel about the same, actually. Should I give up now? Any chance of helping me with a half-decent captain option? Trelaw and Adams have both burned him with a 66 and a 67, respectively. Mate, I've had the exact same two captains.
Yep.
So I feel your pain. Actually, Punchy is actually beating me. So, mate, you're still 40 points ahead of me at the moment. The difference is you've got 5 ineligible, I've got 0. But, the captains, those two captain selections, the 66 and 67, have killed me completely.
Yep.
It's cost me, you know, you're talking, what, 100, 120 points probably in that. So, that's been the big difference. Don't know about you, Arch, but the way I'm looking at it, if you're that far down the list and you've had a bit of a bad first couple of weeks, it's just go all out and just pick who you think's going to win and take players from the other team completely.
Yep.
And hope,
specifically hell. With his question there, Zano, in regards to the captain, if you're after, I think the safest captain option is one of those Geelong midfielders. So a Duncan, a Guthrie, a Danger, a Menegola, one of those guys, they're going to get you a pretty solid between 80 to 100, I think, is pretty much guaranteed with those guys. So that would be the way I would be looking at going. Ceiling-wise, you're probably looking at Neil or Rocky as well. Mm. If you're looking to jump back up there, Neil or Rocky is the way to go for ceiling.
Yeah, so look, for me this week, I'll be actually vice-captaining Rocky with Neil as my captain, I think.
Yep.
But I am tossing up whether or not I go Duncan captain or not. But neither of those two teams have been renowned for tagging. So, look, to be honest with you, I think Rocky against might be one of the guys that goes big against poor Richmond as well. So hopefully I don't need to get to that point. But I'm running Rocky into either Neil or Duncan at this stage for sure.
Yep, and don't give up, Punchy, because as we say, this is one of those very few games where you can be a couple of hundred points behind the leader and make it up quite easily.
Very much
so. If you've selected the right players, and as Zeno's done, he's got 0 ineligible, so you got a lot of bullets in your barrel there to fire. It's just a matter of making sure you fire the right ones.
And look, as we said, and not to have a dig at your poor old Harley, he went from first to 26th in a week. He was the top scoring guy in round one with 894. He scored a 683, the poor guy, on the weekend. So, and no real fault of his own. I'm just trying to find his team now. Poor guy had Maynard for 32, Noble for 19, and Main for 27 in his back line. Who would have thought of that? He's had Treloar as his captain, Pendles, he had Guthrie, had Marshall, and then he's had Ablett as well. So, there's no fault of your own for that. That's just pure unlucky. I mean, Noble I've had in a keeper league all year, and he's been going 60-70 quite comfortably. So, to knock out at 19, and then Maynard with a 32, I mean, come on now. So, that's the joy of being a 4-round season, is things can change very, very quickly. But that's it this week again, everyone. So, thanks again for tuning in, listeners. As always, hit us up on Twitter, get me at OChanceZano, and keep an eye on overlinesports.com.au, brought to you by Check My House Price, where Arch is chucking up the links every week in case you can't find them, and of course any of the results and everything as well.
And you can get me at OTLS Archie on Twitter, and make sure you follow at OTLS Pick'em for all the latest updates there. We do say it every week, but if you are struggling, please give Lifeline a call on 13 11 14. And make sure you subscribe and hit us up on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. As I say, we're going longer than most fantasy footy podcasts. I know most of them have backed off a little bit. I know the Draft Doctors are back doing their... what do they call them? They're ISO drafts, which is quite interesting and always fun. So give those guys a listen. But we're still going, and we've got lots of stuff in the bank ready to go as well.
We have. We've got some BBL stuff coming up very soon. And, geez, the NBA won't be far off starting again if they start the normal time of the year. So
they're not starting normal times, are they? I'll be surprised if they're up and running by Christmas. But the point is still the same. There will be content up there in regards to that.
Absolutely. So, look, best of luck again this week, everybody. As we said, don't give up in this game, because it can turn very, very quickly. And we'll run through it all again next week. Thanks again.
OTLS Sports, giving you the analysis and advice you need to get over the line.